Good morning. It is Wednesday, September the 25th in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Midweek is the perfect moment to reset. Let's go to consecration this morning. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, as we pray through that consecration prayer, we're not going through the motions of it. We're entering into the movement of God's Word and God's Spirit, right? This is not a little fluffy devotional exercise we're doing every morning. No, we're entering in through the door of Jesus into the spacious reality of God's kingdom. That's what we're doing. I just thought I needed to remind you. Today's entry is entitled, Commemorate This Day. Jesus is my Passover. Our text is Exodus chapter 13, verses 3 through 10. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then Moses said to the people, Commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast. Today, in the month of Aviv, you are leaving. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, and Jebusites, the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you are to observe the ceremony in this month. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast. And on the seventh day, hold a festival to the Lord. Eat unleavened bread during those 7 days. Nothing with yeast in it is to be seen among you, nor shall any yeast be seen anywhere within your borders. On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that this law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand. You must keep this ordinance at the appointed time, year after year. The word of the Lord. Now, consider this. If I asked you to tell me your story, chances are you wouldn't include the Passover and Exodus story. I probably wouldn't either. Why is this? If you asked me to tell you my story, I couldn't tell it without talking about Jesus and the resurrection. Same for you, right? The question, though, is how does the story of Jesus make sense without the story of the Passover? He is, after all, our Passover lamb. We are saved from damnation and death by his blood. So what gives? Why do we not consider the Passover as core to our story as we do the cross? To this day, Passover is the central celebration of the Jewish people. But it is a bit of a novelty for most Christians. Many have observed it a time or two, but it's not a signal event in our year. I am asking, why not? Because this is Jesus' story. It is our story. Today's text makes it explicitly clear God expects his people to remember and celebrate the Passover. Commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. I think the reason we don't do this is because we don't think of them, the Israelites, as us. Permit me to be emphatic. We are them. Those ancient Israelites are us. This is our story as much as it was their story. It doesn't matter that most of us are Gentiles. Perhaps the most unfortunate words in all the Bible, and I'm not even sure they are considered part of the inspired text, are Old Testament and New Testament. The Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is one story, and it is our story, the story of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The New Testament is not the story of Jesus. The whole Bible is the story of Jesus. It brings me back to my favorite verse from today's text. On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. Year after year, as they gathered for the Passover meal, Joseph would tell his young son, Jesus, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. Hang on. Joseph didn't come out of Egypt, did he? Oh, yes, he did. And I did too. Even me. Even you. This is more important than remembering a story from history. It is commemoration. To commemorate something is to remember it in a way that narrates you into the story itself. That's what the Lord's Supper is, right? This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that this law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand. You must keep this ordinance at the appointed time, year after year. The prayer for deliverance. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. I hear you saying Exodus. I hear you decree a season of Exodus over me, over my family and my church. Jesus, you are my Exodus, which is another way of saying you are my Passover. Your sacrifice on the cross is my deliverance. You split the sea so I could walk right through it on dry ground. You delivered me from darkness to light, and from death to life, and now from chaos to new creation. You delivered me up out of Egypt, and now you are delivering me from Egypt in me. I receive it, and as you decree it, I declare it. Show me the way to demonstrate it in reality, to commemorate it, and celebrate it, and in doing so, to coronate you as my deliverer king. Yes, Lord, prepare my heart, mind, soul, and strength for the deliverance that comes with Exodus. Now let it be as you decree, for my good, for others' gain, and for your glory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. For our journal prompts today, so are you a student of the whole Bible, or have you tended to focus on the New Testament? Why do you think that is? How can you tangibly make these connections between the Exodus of the Passover and the Exodus of the Passover of Jesus? How can it become more than a history lesson and actually part of your real story? Well, we're going to sing here in just a moment. We're going to sing a mighty hymn. This is number 275. Before the throne of God above. It is remarkable. Before the throne of God above, 275. We're going to sing that in just a minute. There's several things that we could talk about here. One thing I want to start off and be clear about is let's not get hung up in the legalism of celebrating the Jewish Passover, okay? That whole festival and feast, people can get very hung up in, like, the Jewish ritual, and it can become very legalistic. This is not the point of what I'm trying to say. Now, that said, I do think there is something to be said for celebrating what's called a Seder meal, like during Holy Week. We've done that several times over the years, and Sandra Richter leads that kind of thing remarkably. I would love to figure out how can we get Sandra in a room on camera and leading the Seder, because she walks through the various cups and teaches how that fourth cup is the one that, you know, Jesus, I believe, is when he's lifting up the cup at the Lord's Supper, it's the third cup. And then the fourth cup, he says, that's the one I won't drink that one until I drink it anew with you in the kingdom. Anyway, I think this could become and it has. I mean, many churches do this, but it can also be very legalistic, and you just sort of miss the forest for the trees. Because, you know, it's not like we have to keep the legalism of the feasts and the festivals of the Old Testament, because Jesus is our Passover. He has superseded. He has fulfilled the law. He has fulfilled the festivals. But that's not to say at the same time that we just sort of say, okay, well, thanks, Jesus. We'll take it from here. No, there's so much richness and depth and meaning and interpretation that comes from him going backwards. This is why you can't have a New Testament Bible. That's an anomaly. It's an oxymoron. And this is why I even, you know, push around on this Testament, New Testament thing. And again, I know that I can get into trouble with that. It really, I think the better language is Old Covenant rather than Old Testament, because when you say Old Testament, it's like immediately you're sort of saying, well, you don't really need to read that anymore. But if you want to understand the new covenant, you have to understand the old covenant. All that to say is that we are people of one book. You know, we're whole Bible people. And of course, Jesus is our teacher, and he teaches us by his Spirit. That's why Word and Spirit hold all of the coherence together in union. But I think even the bigger idea that I was trying to lift out today is, do you remember when the Passover of Jesus, the deliverance of Jesus, became real in your life and experience? And how do you commemorate that? I love how, like, AA gives you that chip when you first make that move towards sobriety. I think that's how it works. And they hold on to that chip, and then they get another chip at a certain point of sobriety. And this is about remembering and commemorating. And I don't know, there's something rich about this in the Lord and in Jesus and in salvation. And I'm going to stop there, and we're going to sing, and then we got to hit the fields. And so, number 275, before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love. Whoever lives and pleads for me, my name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart, no tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. That was challenging to sing a cappella, but you saw that I went for it. I had to take deeper breaths. I had to back away from the microphone, and I just had to, like, it's fourth down and long, go for it. Thanks for singing with me. I could hear you out there struggling too. But my gosh, that is the song of the victorious struggle of Jesus Christ, our Passover, my Passover, your Passover. Let's just get in touch with him today. He paid it all. He finished the whole thing. Our sins were nailed to the cross in his body. You know, I think maybe that's the thing we need to do is just we need a deeper recovery of the Lord's Supper, of that whole experience, and far more regularly than we even have it. We've got to get that out of going through the motions and restored back into the mighty movement of God. Yeah, I've got a lot to say about that, but I'm going to stop here because it's Wednesday and there are people, there are divine appointments throughout this day. The Lord has already preordained for you. Just be ready. Seeds in your pocket, eyes open, ears to the ground, heart lifted to the Lord. He'll lead you. Just slow down. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.